Howdy do, buckaroos, and welcome back to the after show, coming back from our holiday recess. It is December 6th, 2019, as we record. I am Mike Rose. I'm joined, as always, by my partner in podcasting crime, Ms. Kelly Grimont. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm completely distracted by one of our topics today.
Yes. Our topic is very one of our topics is very distracting. This is among the ephemera that we want to bring to you via the TalkCast, via the after show. Forget it. Let's start over. I screwed it up right now. One of the things we like to bring to your attention via the after show is things that are funny that you should be paying attention to. Category, we should have separate theme music for that. And you all have seen, many of you have probably already seen the meme of, I think it started as, what's something you can say during sex but also during a hockey game? And many of you have seen this, and I'm typing to try to find the
There have been, and there have been a number of iterations of this recently.
Yeah, there've been a number of different flavors of it. Yesterday, December 5th, 2019, at 2:22 p.m. Eastern, the end of Twitter occurred. When the Netflix, the official blue check Netflix account for Netflix United States, at Netflix, decided to go there. They decided to go there. So they tweeted, what's something you can say during sex, but also when you manage a brand Twitter account? And the brands have come to...
Correct.
To, the brands have come correct. Yes, this is exactly what's going on. These are hilarious. None of them, almost none of them could be repeated on the show.
No, but there have been some very entertaining brand accounts that waded into this, which is part of what makes it, like, accounts that you would never expect to engage in a little trivia thread thing like this that just sort of randomly went by, right? And yet, here we are. Holy moly.
Yeah, I think that the most innocuous one is the Snickers account replying satisfied, which is good. That's pretty funny. Netflix replied with a RuPaul GIF saying meh.
Yes.
But so many of these are just astonishing.
Okay, another innocuous is, again, a checkmarked account. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. There's just for real, and like, and just the more you scroll, the more entertaining it gets, and you probably will get a different, you may see different ones, like I think if you like are looking on the website or whatever, that you might get different ones based on like accounts that you follow and stuff, but just watching them is super hilarious.
There, I mean, Universal Orlando Resort saying prepare for the ride of a lifetime. pretty edgy. White Claw Hard Seltzer saying please tell me you're over 21. Extremely edgy. And my utility company, Con Edison, just now replied, I'm not going to say it. I'm actually quite angry. Don't.
Okay.
All of it is so uncomfortable, and yet you cannot look away. It's hilarious.
I of course got a Portland Trailblazers Twitter account reply, which was both teams played hard.
Anyway,
it's tremendous, and you know, I think part of the reason that this is getting, like, as I look at it now, it's got 150,000 likes. And I think part of that is because this is the kind of thing that Twitter used to be.
Yeah, before the brands got here. So now the brands are here.
Well, I was going to say pre-Nazi, but yeah.
Pre-Nazi.
We'll go with brands.
The anti-Nazi period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was a lovely time on Twitter. And I remember it way back when it would be kind of late in, on the West Coast. So it would be sort of late night in Portland, you know, it's like, you know, 11 o'clock, midnight. And somebody would say, like, hey, let's go mess with trending again. And then all it would take is some bored nerds up late in Portland to go mess around with the trending. Before they had like local trends and worldwide trends and all that, there was just one trending. And in like 2008, Portland could put up there whatever they wanted if we just got the word out. A couple times very early on when Portland froze, PDXTST was a trending topic on all of the Tweety Box, not just here. And the story of PDXTST is another thing that makes that really entertaining to me, because we were making fun of all of the Storm Team coverage, and so now it's but now it's like official, which I will never cease to be entertained by. We should tell that story sometime. We'll tell it in January when everything freezes here, and I will explain why everybody's tweets look like that. But like watching this go by reminds me a little bit of it's sort of like the first wave of Mandalorian reaction. It's like the moments of this and that, that every once in a while something comes by and like Twitter gets super entertaining for like a sec, and then you keep scrolling and, oh, right, all this other stuff too. And I know Twitter's what you make it, and I know all of those things, but that doesn't, like, just because I am not personally following Nazis doesn't mean it's okay that they're there and that they are breaking every term of service to attack other people and that nothing happens. So this is the issue. I don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter anymore, and part of that is why. And but, like, watching this go by, like, even though I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, this is still something that I was unable to avoid, and I didn't realize that this particular one had expanded the way that it had. And wow, I just, yeah. And it's really a throwback to like a more like when we used to do stuff like this all the time, like hashtag games. Remember we used to play hashtag games on Twitter, Mike?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, we had, what was the one just the other day that I saw in my little scroll back? Star Wars Bands, I think. So it was like Neural Blue Milk Hotel, and things like that. Because people like send the little, yeah, and like they were funny. Somebody whips up a hashtag and then, and we would do like lyric headlines and things like that once in a while, there was one about It's Tricky, people tearing what I'm wearing, one bothered father explains his dilemma at 11 or something, things like that. And it just like, we used to like stuff like that used to be like where you would sort of go and be fun. And like Twitter has evolved a lot since then. And so every once in a while, these little glimmers of the olden time sort of show through, and it always makes me really happy.
Yeah, and this is definitely one of those examples of something that's just like,
yes.
It's exceedingly weird and meta, and also it breaks the veil a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, there are real people behind these,
mm-hmm.
each one of these brands. Like, these aren't AIs, these aren't, in many cases, they're not committees. There's one person or two people who are responsible for that brand experience on Twitter, and they are choosing to spend their work time making dirty jokes. Making dirty jokes under the banner of their multi-billion dollar brand, in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird Twitter. It's corporatized weird Twitter, and like in a way safe and unthreatening, but also deeply transgressive and strange, and not the sort of thing brands are supposed to do. Brands mm-hmm. don't do that. Brands shouldn't do that. It's like White Claw. Okay, cool. But the Discovery Channel? Arby's? Really? Arby's?
Arby's. Mike, this is an Arby's.
This is a Netflix.
Yes. Oh my god! And like some of the replies are part of what make it wonderful, like the Yelp one saying, please share your experience with the community, and then Netflix immediately replied, didn't match the photos.
I almost spit tea on my laptop.
And I was just gonna say, I can tell, I know that noise, I almost owed you a new keyboard. Yep.
God. So yeah, I mean, if for those of you who never experienced the heyday of weird Twitter, yeah, this is the Disneyland version of it, but it's still good. It's still pretty funny. And again, the transgressive nature of it, the ability for just a second to step back and, like, I am not positive that the Netflix brand Twitter person knew that they were going, what they were going to start with, a sort of a one-off joke about a common meme, but they brought everybody out of the woodwork. Their meme shake brought all the brands to the yard, dare I say.
Oh no. Oh, ow, it hurts.
So thank you for joining us on our Derrida podcast. dad jokes and Derrida. That's what we're doing.
Good night, everybody.
Deconstruction. But we were going to talk about something else. So we've been on hiatus for a bit. We've had the holidays. We've had Thanksgiving. We've had people traveling. We had Dreamforce, which put me on the West Coast for a week. Things have been proceeding while we were away, and one of the things that has proceeded into the public consciousness, speaking of inescapable memes, is The Mandalorian.
Yes.
On Disney Plus. And we were talking about Disney Plus last time we chatted about the value proposition, and I think we mentioned that if you already had Hulu or ESPN Plus or the over-the-top version of ESPN, you could get a discounted bundle, which I did. So I got like the $5.99 or the $6.99 Disney Plus with Hulu. It was a good choice for me because I wanted to watch Tron. As it turned out, the Tron transfer audio is horrible. Yeah. I like Tron. What can I say?
You cashed in for Tron?
That was what brought you to the decision point. Tron,
not Marvel, not Pixar, not princesses. No judgment. It was Tron. A little judgment. I'm not gonna lie.
But anyway, we can talk about the broader catalog. But we were going to talk about The Mandalorian, except
we can't talk about The Mandalorian because only 50% of the after show has seen The Mandalorian.
50% of the after show has seen The Mandalorian, which is basically because I did not take my Thanksgiving break to watch The Mandalorian. I certainly should have. I'll acknowledge it. It's me. It's on me. I'm behind on Mrs. Maisel. I'm behind on The Mandalorian.
Wait, Mrs. Maisel's out?
Well, I haven't watched season 2 yet.
Oh, then yeah, you are behind.
I'm pretty far behind. I did catch up on Barry. I finished Barry.
Okay. I haven't done Barry yet. So.
I'm caught up on The Good Place, but I've not watched The Mandalorian. And Kelly wanted to talk about The Mandalorian. And we realized that this is essentially...
Everybody has this problem, I think.
Everyone has this problem because even in the original time-shifting era, the DVR era, this problem was not so severe. Mm-hmm. Now, in the pure streaming era, the problem is ubiquitous. The problem is pervasive.
I would argue that, yes, that's true in some cases, less so. For example... The Mandalorian comes out weekly. They didn't give us all the episodes at once.
True.
So you don't have this problem of like, have you seen The Mandalorian? I'm only up to episode 4. La 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 la. You know, no, that's not what's happening. So maybe you didn't see the one that came out today, but you could still be almost all the way caught up. You know what I mean? Like, so, and one of the other things, like I just had this conversation yesterday because a friend of mine said, yeah, so... you know, my friend sent me a picture, like a picture of the TV. He's just digging into Battlestar Galactica. Mm. And he gets to binge it, has never seen it before.
Right.
And so he gets to binge all of that. And I wondered, you know, as we were talking about it, I was like, you know, I wonder how different that experience will be from the experience I had of watching it live weekly.
Serialized.
Or with 18 months in between seasons. Because there's some big stuff they take on in Battlestar Galactica. You know, who's human and who's not, and how do you know, and what does that mean? And, you know, what is it that makes the difference between human and not human? And, you know, because sometimes people act really inhumanely And sometimes some of the robots, you know, really didn't. We're not being inhumane at all. And so, like, it was this whole thing. And I feel like that was a show where getting to sit with it for a week between was a really good way, was a really good thing, like, to sit, to have to sit with that and spend a little time and kind of, you know, I'm not saying I spent all my free time talking about Battlestar Galactica or thinking about Battlestar Galactica, but having that time in between to sort of, you know, maybe turn it over once or twice in your brain or whatever and think about, like, well, you know, what is it they're trying to say? What does that mean? How would I have behaved in that situation, that kind of stuff, and sort of having that conversation with yourself. And there's not room for that if you're going to just, you know, watch a season in a week or whatever. Right. And, like, sometimes I don't have time. So even, you know, like Mrs. Maisel, when they do release season 3, if they put it out all at once, like, you and I won't be able to talk about it until both of us are done and both of us have other things to do, which means that who knows when we're going to get to talk about Mrs. Maisel season 3. So, like, this is a problem lots of people have.
Right.
Is what we were getting back to, is that, you know, I've seen all of it. I've seen none of it. I've only seen half, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. And the serialized shows, or the fact that something like The Mandalorian is serialized and is coming out week by week, like a network show in the traditional fashion, as opposed to a streaming dump, Netflix style, like Orange is the New Black, all showing up at once, you know, Great British Bake Off, all showing up at once. By the way, since I had a sick child last week, I found myself watching, like, I think I was averaging a season of Great British Bake Off a day.
Oh, my goodness.
During the Thanksgiving break. So
we talked about that, too, about how Great British Bake Off and Great British Baking Show. And there's another one about, like, decorating.
Yeah.
I think. And we were talking about how it's a much nicer way to watch an air quote reality show than some of the American ones. Because, like, there's never a point on the Great British Baking Show where somebody says, "I'm not here to make friends," right. and
they are, they legitimately right. are,
right. And my friend said, all of them are just competing against themselves. They're not really competing against each other. It's, are you doing the best that you can do? And I never really thought about it like that, but, like, that's exactly what it is. That's what I like about seeing those shows and watching that stuff that's exactly why.
Yeah.
Because that is what's happening. And it's pretty great.
It's pretty great, and it's a cultural difference, but it's also, as the viewer, it's a different experience. But the question about, like, whether discursively, whether in conversation or among friends or among a community, you can all assume commonality of experience, at least around entertainment, has completely broken down when it comes to television. Mm-hmm. It's still movies-ish, books-ish, although those were always somewhat asynchronous. I mean, I think the difference is that those experiences, those cultural experiences of a movie, a play, a book, a piece of theater, whatever, an album, were always fundamentally asynchronous. Always fundamentally you had, as the consumer, a choice about when you were going to engage with this piece of culture. Mm-hmm. And some people took longer, some people took shorter, and a lot of it was that experience of discovery, of being pulled into something because all your friends were talking about it, and saying, you know, oh, have you heard the latest Prince album, or oh, have you read this book by Jonathan Lethem, or whatever. So it was always that inverted, or it was always that direction where the experience would pull people in, and you would choose to opt into it. You'd choose to experience it, read it, or see it, because you wanted to be able to talk about it. Like your friends were talking about it, you wanted to be able to talk about it. Television was never like that. Except television was water cooler conversation, and was culturally relevant in part because it was synchronous.
Yes.
In part because everybody experienced it at the same time. And you either you experienced it or you didn't, but 95% of the time, if you didn't experience it when it was delivered, you had, you had to jump in the stream and experience it then. And then otherwise you were waiting for the summer for it to show up in reruns.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't, you didn't have a choice about whether you were going to reconsume it or put it on, or time shift it or put it on your own schedule.
Right.
And that started to change with DVR, and it started to change with pay services, and it started to change with the way the networks worked, but it never really changed until we had these streaming series that were dumped.
Yes.
And then everybody's just like, oh, I'll binge it when I've got the time. But it's you can't have that conversation. You can't have the same experience.
Right. Well, and then, like, the problem I always have when I'm doing that is, what happened? Like, if you tell me, you know, like, if you tell me, Mike, like, I'm only up to episode 3 of The Mandalorian, like, that doesn't help me at all not spoil anything for you if we want to talk about the first 2, right? So I need you to tell me, like, what's happening where you are? Like, I would get this with Westworld all the time because I watched it the night it came out. For obvious reasons.
Of course.
And I would, you know, watch it. And then, like, you know, like later on, right, people would be like, you know, like, we're up to episode 8. And people would go, oh, I'm only up to episode 3. And I'm like, I don't have any context for what was happening. That
I don't even remember. Yeah.
Tell me what happened there so that I don't wreck, you know, episode 5 for you accidentally by talking about something that you don't know yet. So, you know, like, even that is sort of an odd conversation, you know, to have sometimes. But, you know, it's the season at once thing that I find really frustrating because, and here's why. Mm. I don't generally have time to watch a season of anything all at once. No. I generally don't have a way to dedicate enough time to watch all of a movie at the same time because I have other stuff going on.
Yeah.
So like, I can't binge all of Stranger Things, you know, and I kind of don't want to. I want to watch one and then maybe tomorrow watch another one and then the next day watch another one, you know, like one at a time. Because, like, I don't have a built-in massive block of TV viewing in my regular day. I really don't.
Well, and also, you and I are olds and we're not used to... We grew up consuming television Battlestar Galactica style. One episode a week at best.
Yeah.
Our brains... That is the narrative... The narrative intake, that is the input style for our brains that we were raised on. Now, can we binge stuff? Sure. Does it make us feel a little weird? Like, do you have this experience? People of a certain age have this experience of the Netflix, when Netflix is auto-playing the next episode, you're just like, oh, magic. Because somewhere, somewhere in the base of your reptile brain is show ends. Then comes McLaughlin Report or, you know, the 10 o'clock news. That's like, but my television is over.
It's McLaughlin Report?
Whatever was next. I don't know. McLaughlin Report was usually on during the day.
No, that's weird because that was always what was on after Doctor Who.
Well, see, there you go. that's my point. It's like we expect the, like, unless we change the channel, the content will change for us. That is the expectation. That was what baked in.
And I never really thought about it like that, but yeah.
And now it feels unnatural. And in fact, I just now thinking about this, I realized that this is a disconnect between me and my children. When my kids see the "Are you still watching Great British Baking Show?" that prompt that comes up after after 3 episodes have gone by or 4 episodes and nobody's touched the control or paused anything, and that comes up and they're like, oh, so annoying, because of course they are, of course they're still watching. I see that and it's like, oh, it's like a little, it's like the pause that refreshes, because I'm being given, I'm being told, hey, here's the commercial break, here's the chance to go to the bathroom, here's the program thing to me, I think. Yeah. Yeah,
I think definitely for me that's the part that's weirder and that's sort of why I like the "Are You Still Watching?" is the same thing. Like, yeah, I need to get up and walk around a little, and maybe I need a glass of water or a new snack or, you know, whatever. Like, I just can't sit in front of the TV like this, you know, like I'm not wired that way. I never was. And, you know, it used to be like I would sit in the vicinity of a TV and read a book or something. I mean, even now, like there is like 45 minutes of my day where there is a TV show on. Okay, I will admit that. But those 45 minutes are when I am playing Days of Our Lives through TiVo on my iPad and I am making dinner or, you know, doing some sort of household task. You know, like this is the stretch of time where I empty the dishwasher and then put all the dirty dishes in the dishwasher or, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing. Like it's on in the background because, like, let's be honest, it's a pretty low effort show. You don't have to spend a bunch of time staring at it in order to pick up all the detail, if you follow me. Check in once in a while. Everybody's still got their shirt on. Okay. Go back to whatever you were doing and it's great.
I'm going to put a pin in low effort show and come back to it. But yes, go ahead.
So, but like aside from that, like if I want to sit down and watch a show, I want to sit down and watch a show. Like I very rarely even am a second screener, like picking up my phone and, you know, like if I am, it's a discrete task. I know that guy. Let me figure it out. Pick up my phone, IMDb. Oh, he used to be on Days of Our Lives. Put my phone down and go back to watching TV. Like that happens more often than you think. And that is usually what I end up doing, you know, if I'm watching a show, like I'm not like scrolling Twitter while I'm watching TV or whatever. So that to me is a very different experience, I think, as well. So,
yeah, I mean, so that is a bit of a different experience. The background television is different. Mrs. Mike uses actually Buffy the Vampire Slayer as her primary cooking background show.
Oh, okay.
For a couple reasons. One, because she knows it so well that she essentially can fill in missing pieces of dialogue or on-screen business without having to look at the screen. But she's got it on her iPad. But what's interesting is there is a show that she's watching right now that totally does not lend itself to low-effort viewing or background viewing, which is Shtizel. It's an Israeli show on Netflix. I'm going to say Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's Netflix and not Amazon Prime. And it's subtitled. And not only is it subtitled, but it's also in a combination of Hebrew and Yiddish. And Heidi's Hebrew is okay, but her Yiddish is not particularly good. To say non-existent. So she can't not watch. Like she has to be. She can't be looking at her iPad. She can't be doing other things. She has to watch. And I think it's true of any foreign language show that they don't permit you to do that sort of background viewing because you won't understand what's going on. You have to be able to see the screen at the same time that you're hearing it.
Yeah.
But I mean that's a little bit of a special case. But it's also, you know, goes to the point that yeah. We probably consume, you know, collectively as a culture, we probably consume more television, but we're also doing it in very, very weird and unusual ways. It's not in the living room. It's not on the couch. It's not in prime time necessarily. And again, this is like we sound like complete get off my lawn tribesters at the moment. Because of course,
well, I'm not complaining.
We're not complaining. We're noticing.
I'm just like this is a different thing that, and it's not that I'm mad about it. I'm just unused to it, and so it's very odd to me to sit down and watch a whole season of a thing. Trust me, it's not like I don't want to. Because Kelly has discovered The Crown on Netflix,
like so many other people. I mean,
and all I want in life is to carve out like my entire weekend and just go like put on my sweatpants now and sit down in front of the TV and get cracking. That's what I really want to do, because I will occasionally in this case that Are You Still Watching will be my break to go to Wikipedia and find out how all these things actually compare to what I just saw on TV. Because the thing that has been killing me, I'm most of the way through the first season, and the thing that has been like blowing me away about a lot of this is that it's all stuff that actually happened. Did it happen that way? Was it quite that dramatic? You know, I don't know. But those are things that actually happened. You know, this person and this person, you know, were in the middle of this historical event when it all went down. Or this is a thing that happened that I never even had heard about until this moment. Or, you know, different actions that people took that set up something that I totally do know about, like seeing how it all came to be. Like, all of that stuff has been really crazy. I'm trying to talk in vague terms for people who haven't seen it, but you should totally go watch it because it's really good. And season 3 is out right now, and I don't know. Anyway, I want is for some royal family historian to start a podcast where they stack up the Crown against, like, real life.
Against the actual history.
Yeah. So, this happened. It wasn't nearly as fraught as what the Crown TV show would have you believe. But yeah, let me tell you the story, because the story in actuality is equally bonkers. Whatever it is. Like, yeah, finding out that you know, the way it actually went down is still just as weird and bizarre and whatever else. Like, yeah, that would be great.
Everybody who I work with who got delayed or stuck or had travel issues, either from Dreamforce or at Thanksgiving, when I said, oh my gosh, you were in the airport for 7 hours, or oh my gosh, you got stuck there for an extra day, almost without exception, they said, yeah, but I was able to binge The Crown, so it was cool. I was like, really? Okay. I'm glad you found that soothing. Everybody's, again, an example of something everybody's talking about. But see, here's the thing. I don't, with regard to The Crown, I do not feel an obligation to be caught up on it or to watch it in order to be conversant with my peers and my friends, because it in no way will punch my nerd card. Or unpunch my nerd card, or avoid None. Punching my nerd card. The Mandalorian, I kind of, yes. Yeah, I got it. I have, you know, I mean, keeping in mind, until 2 weeks ago, I had not seen The Last Jedi. I watched it on
Wait,
a plane.
What?
I hadn't seen The Last Jedi.
Mike, you're friends with me.
I know.
How is this possible?
My family didn't want to go see it in the theater, and I was waiting. Until I was on a plane.
Mike,
to see it, yeah. But I have watched it now. I'm caught up. Just in time.
Okay, let me explain for people playing along at home who may not know this. I was recently described to a PR person who was asking if anyone at Mac Observer was interested in Star Wars as, you should talk to Kelly about that. Star Wars is not a fandom to her. It's more of a lifestyle choice. So I'm going to point out here that I have a calendar reminder on December 18th, like I totally need it, that Rise of Skywalker is tomorrow. And then on the 19th, I have tickets to a showing at 6:45. And then on the 20th, I have tickets for a completely separate showing in a different theater that is having a Star Wars party. And by party, I mean, this is one of those swanky cinemas that has, like, the theaters, but then they all, and the theaters are all, like, super comfy chairs and everything's reserved seating. But they also have a restaurant in the front, and they have a bar, and the bar is always serving drinks themed to whatever films are in So when we went to see Avengers Endgame, the drink I had with that was the Hulk Smash. and they were like, so this theater, it's called Studio One Cinemas, and each of the theaters where you go sit and watch your movie is sort of decorated around different cities in the world. So there's like Tokyo and Paris and London, and they're all going, and they all have a like screen through one of the sides that's like a window that looks out on that city. And for Star Wars, those are all going to look down on particular planets from Star Wars. There will be people there from the 501st in full stormtrooper armor to escort you to your seat when the screening begins. If you have an evening ticket for a dinner show, then you get to listen to the Cantina Band, which is actually members of the Oregon Symphony, who are going to be playing selections of John Williams' music while you enjoy your meal, which is all Star Wars themed, before the stormtroopers escort you to your seat. And apparently the whole hallway where all the theaters are is going to be decorated as if it's a Star Destroyer. So you're on like a Star Cruiser as you go and sit in your seat. And in your seat, there is a window that looks down on a planet from the spaceship you are sitting in, so you can watch this movie. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm going to I'm going to that. You know I have tickets to that. So yeah, expect a full report once I have sufficiently recovered from both the film and that particular event.
Talking more the rise of indigestion than the rise of Skywalker. Oh my gosh, that's a lot. it's a lot to digest. They should.
It's
you know what they should
so
do.
So much.
You know what they should do? They should have, like, they've got all the drinks, they've got the band, they've got the stormtroopers, but what they really need to do is, like, take the restroom door and do, like, a full sticker Sarlacc mouth on it.
Oh my goodness.
Did you actually just laugh in John Williams' rhythm there? That was the Imperial March.
Oh no.
All right, we've lost Kelly. It's good. We're in good shape.
Oh no. Okay.
Yes. You have to clap in rhythm. Yeah, I mean, I think that being able to I don't want to be that guy who says, "Yeah, I got Disney Plus, but I haven't watched The Mandalorian," because I feel that that's problematic. So, I will catch up. Presumably, before we record our next show, I will be caught up. Now, here's a thing that our audience should be aware of. So we've been off for a month. We're back. We will be with it's December 6th, so the show will be out this weekend. We are going to record, I hope, probably one more show before the Christmas-ish time of the year, the holiday seasoning. When we will be talking about gifts. Actually, that's something we should be talking about next week. So I'm like three levels deep now. So my original point was we're going to have one more show before the end of the year. I'm going to be away for a bit. Kelly's going to be doing the Kelly days, the Holly Kelly days. So then we will be back in January. But next show, we're probably going to be talking way more about tech than about media. I just wanted to put a quick plug out there that I was on episode 3 of the Mac Voices gift guide show. Always fun. Yes. And thank you to Mr. Chuck Joyner and my co-panelists for having me on. So that's a place you can see us. But we will talk about the things we would like to see in our stockings next time. And it has nothing to do with that Netflix tweet. So, entirely different topic. But, Kelly, is there anything you would like the people to know about where they can find you and also what's going on before we have to call it a night here?
You can find me on this year's first episode of Chuck's Gift Guide.
Look at that.
And part of the reason that this pleases me is because one of the things that Chuck likes to do on his gift guide shows, because he does them every year, and I've been on like a number of them now. But one of the things that he likes to do is make sure that there's no repeats.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that you see, like everybody that does that, you know, whenever there's a gift guide that comes out, like it's all going to be different. So I like to be one of the first people so I can make sure that none of my stuff got sniped. like I am completely upfront about that. Like I know that I might pick stuff that people want to also pick. So I try to make sure that I get there first. And, I think the first one this year, I believe, Chuck said was one of the, most stolen, where it happened like four times, I think, during our episode, one of us would pick something, that someone else already had on their list. I think I know I did it to Chuck. I think I did it twice. I think I got Chuck twice with some of my picks. So, Anyway, the other great thing about Chuck's gift guide is that they don't necessarily need to be practical either. So sometimes it's a really fun way to figure out like some crazy out there gift, or maybe something that you hadn't considered before. One time, I think what I picked was the little snap top little tub that I have on my desk, and you're supposed to like you buy them and you put like pills in them or whatever is like what they're actually supposed to be for. But I have one where I have like my iPhone ejection tool and that little thing that you use for that little bit of stuff, you know, once in a while, but you will always lose. So this is like the world's teeniest like junk drawer, so that I have all those little parts of things, and whenever I need one, I know that's exactly where it's at. So like the USB stick that I have, that's my backup image, you know, for my computer if something goes wrong with it, that kind of stuff. Like, it all lives in this one little tub so that I have all of those little bits and pieces all in one place and they don't get scattered everywhere. And I think I recommended that one time and they're like $4 or something, and like people loved it. So definitely I would say check out the gift guides. And also I will put in a plug for Mac Observer gift guides. Andrew's written a couple. And he and Charlotte did video of one to a video gift guide today, where they had some picks in there. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, the rest of the time, you can occasionally find me on Twitter, like I said. And you can sometimes find me on micro.blog as well. And yeah, generally that's about it. You can usually find me here and over at Mac Observer, where I sometimes talk about things I want for Christmas. And I host the Daily Observations podcast there, and I will probably be on a Star Wars podcast over at The Incomparable.
Not avoidable. You can find me on both Twitter and micro.blog as Mike T. Rose. You, as mentioned, can find me on episode 3 of the Mac Voices Gift Guide. You might, sometime in the next month or so, find me on one of my favorite podcasts, which I cannot talk about yet because it hasn't been confirmed or happened yet. But if it does happen, you can be quite sure you will be hearing about it on the after show, because I am so excited. I will say that I am going to see a live taping of this podcast, and they put out a call for audience participation, and I sent an email and said, I will be there, and I would like to participate, and I have a conversation with the podcast producer tomorrow to find out if this is actually happening. So you all can just wait in anticipation to find out if it's actually going to happen, or next time we talk, I may just say, yeah, that didn't come to fruition, and it was very disappointing, and I'm very sad. But you can find me in those places. You can find our show at aftershowpodcast.com. And by the way, as we do our shout-outs, hey Chris Fuller, hey Javi, hey Info Driveway, hey Brittany, what is up, Dave McGee, how's it going, Lenny, hey Other Kelly, hey Deidre, anyone else we should be giving a shout-out to?
In the name of...
Tony Walla.
In the name of Other Blazer Fan Kelly, We got Phone Boy and Info Driveway.
Yep.
And Diane and I think that mostly I think that covers everybody. But in the name of Other Kelly, I feel like we have to give a shout out to Carmelo Anthony, because that's a thing that's happening for he and I right now, which is very exciting.
So sad. So angry.
What?
I'm angry.
You should be, because we just snapped him up for the entire season.
Yes. Well, and the Knicks and Coach Fizdale just got fired, so that's another reason for you. I mean, the Knicks are a shambolic disaster on wheels, but that's another show.
We can talk about that later.
But in the shout out to everybody, if you are visiting our website, aftershowpodcast.com, no www needed, please let us know if you are getting a certificate error. The site is actually not intended to be secure. Via our hosting platform, it does not contain anything sensitive. So, but if Chrome is giving you an error, please let us know, and you can tweet us at @the_aftershow. And of course, that is a great way to get a hold of us. I want to thank you all for listening. We will be back very, very soon. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks.